Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm grateful for awareness practice.
You're what?
I'm grateful for awareness practice.
Oh, I am too.
Yes.
I am too.
Yes.
And we've got so much going on right now. It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
With the email class and Transform Your Life and the radio show and peace quotes and gracious goodness.
Yes. And where would I be without awareness practice just assisting me to show up and be here and drop the conversation?
Near as I can tell, suffering.
Yes. And I've been practicing suffering for a long time.
time to practice something else, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I get it that without a lot of support, it's a struggle to go up against those voices and all of that negativity that exists in the world.
Yes.
It's a hard thing for folks, so I'm glad we all stick together.
Yes. You know, and I get the sense with as how practice has evolved over the years with technology that a lot of what Living Compassion does is attempt to offer practice in as many ways as possible.
Yeah. Oh, and it's true. I mean, I say this often, you know, but it is true. It's an amazing time to be alive.
Yeah.
Just I don't know if I was on this jag with you, but, you know, I realize I get up on an average morning and I do more before 8 a.m. than people even 50 years ago could have done in a week.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's astounding.
Yes.
So to be able to be in contact with people all over the world, is just a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing. It's a great privilege.
Gosh, we're lucky.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're lucky to have some callers tonight.
Isn't that good?
I'd like to welcome Janet from New Hampshire. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I just loved listening to you talk about that because it's so true all the way in New Hampshire, and I am totally a part of the Sangha.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I even forgot some of the, you know, there are so many things, like reflective listening buddies. You know, people all over the world are talking to each other, doing reflective listening and supporting one another's practice.
Yes.
It's great. You know, you get Skype, there are no strangers. There's no distance.
No, it's been great.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have something I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
This is the content, but... Last week, I think it was, or a couple of weeks ago, somebody had asked me if I would substitute teach a class for them, a yoga class, and I don't teach yoga at this person's studio, but I teach another class at her studio. So we've been, you know, working together. I rent space from her.
Uh-huh.
And so she asked me to sub for her, and I said that I would, and we hadn't talked about price or anything. And so when she came back, we got in touch. She sent me an email, and she said, well, she told me the price that she usually pays her subs. And then in parentheses, she said, do you think this is fair? And so I thought about that for a while, and I thought, actually, I didn't think it was fair, but it's not like me to say that,
mm-hmm.
but I thought I would say that anyway.
Just to see what it's like to do something that's not like you?
Just to be totally like me. Well, not like me, right. So there is that person who is showing up more and more, who is stepping out and not being like me. And what happened was when what I consider to be everything falling apart, it was this terrified child left there, like, who did this? Who created this mess? Because what happened was I sent it in an email, and I did it, you know, I'm doing the email class, and I'm thinking about things. I mean, I'm watching how everything shifts. So part of my thinking was, no, I actually don't think that's fair, and I also have had good dealings with her, and she has let me use her studio for some fundraisers for, like, Living Compassion, and do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I said, so after all of that, actually it's fine.
Uh-huh.
So I said no, and then I went, I said kind of my thinking out loud, and my husband said, you forgot she's not in the email class, she's not really interested. You know, like a little bit too much information.
Uh-huh.
So I get this email back, you know, and it's just this one line saying, well, what do you think is fair? You know, and then it wasn't signed or anything. And so I just, I froze, like, oh, my God, she hates me. I'm awful. I wish we didn't have modern technology and I had never sent an email. You know, so then I thought about it, and I was completely uptight and crazy, and I started hating myself, and, you know, I had done the worst thing in the world. I was going to have to pack up all my things and leave town. You know, it just got awful.
Uh-huh.
And so I finally emailed back, and I said, you know, I've only subbed for people a couple times, and I told her what the situation was, and I said, I completely assumed that it would be like that. You know, so I took responsibility for...
Right, for acknowledging that you didn't check it out ahead of time. You didn't, neither one of you.
Neither one of us didn't check it out. We had never, you know, we had never been in that kind of a relationship before.
Right.
Well, that was over a week ago. I've never heard back from her.
Oh, dear.
And I, at first I was like, I've got to fix this. You know, like, and I've got to, like, try to do something and fix this because I'm feeling really, really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I just decided that I wasn't going to email her back and try to fix it. I was going to try to sit in it and see what it all was.
Uh-huh. See what happened with you, what you were going to make out of this.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is that the day after it happened, I mean, I was really, really upset. And the next day, I watched myself all day. You know, I, like, watched myself in all my interactions, and I came to the conclusion at the end of the day that I was either completely faking all day, and I really am absolutely an awful person, or that whole email thing that went on was, and that was the truth. The email thing... No, wait a minute. I'm getting it mixed up.
Well, it really was either all you or it really was all her.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon? I mean, that's what conditioning would usually do.
It's conditioning I have seen. It's all either or.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wanted to really talk about is that this comes up for me all the time. There's only one right answer. There's only one right way. There's only one solution.
Yeah, and chances are it puts one of those forth, and then you do or do not do whatever, and then the next one is there. So in this case, the thing that you needed to do was say what was so for you. Then it didn't go well. And then the next right thing is you were wrong.
Yeah, I was really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I was really wrong. And then I felt paralyzed.
Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of thing is, that kind of situation is the reason, I think, that people get all of these complex social systems set up so that this person does this, and then this person does this, and under these circumstances you say this, and when you're over there you say that, and, you know, there are all these rules, and as long as everybody follows the rules, then in theory everything goes smoothly. But of course the rules almost never get followed in a way that conditioning can't make hash of. And so people are left in this place that you're describing, just feeling terrible, like you've completely done the wrong thing, and this woman hates you, and she's never going to get over it, and you're never going to get over it, and yeah.
So I feel like I need to do something. Well, actually, I'm not sure I need it.
Right. Well, there you have the duality again, right?
Right.
I need to do something. No, I'm not sure I need to do it. Yeah, you need to do something about this.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about it is, for me, and I admit on occasion that I have a slightly unorthodox view of life, but, you know, you could have paid a lot of money for a workshop that would have enabled you to see the kind of stuff that you're seeing. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
But this was free. You know, life just handed it to you.
And so, is that it then? What I'm looking at is that it is just what it is.
Well, the thing is, for me, there doesn't have to be a stopping place with this. You know, you could take the next step in the experiment, which could be anything from, I don't actually support the idea of moving out of town. I think that would be a bit...
I've already left that idea.
Okay, good. But there would probably be never going back to that studio again, right?
That has come into mind, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So there's everything from that to writing and, you know, pleading insanity, you know, or just saying, gosh, this didn't go well. You know, you ask what if I thought it was fair. I thought I would just tell you what was going on, but that seemed not to be well received. And, you know, none of this is worth causing this kind of... rift. So what can we do to fix this?
Right.
And that will provide whatever that provides, right? Because she could say, oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I've just been absolutely miserable. Or she could say, there isn't any way to fix it. I never want to see you again. And
right.
That will, you know, then whatever will come out of that. But we...
I can hear my husband. He's listening to the show. He's downstairs laughing.
The thing about it is, you know, we conditioning just wants everything to be so real and so meaningful. But if we really get that what we're trying to do here is see how suffering happens and to learn to step out of that.
So what really happened was I did something, and then when I didn't, when it kind of felt like it backfired, I wanted to, like, take that back, or I wanted that not to be what was.
Right. So you step out there, and then something happens, and conditioning leaps on you and says, see? You see, you should never, what this means is, now look what you've, okay?
Right.
To me, that's, now we've hit the valuable part.
Right.
So, you know, it, however this goes, you didn't go into it to try to ruin that woman's life.
Right.
That was not your intention. And you can't control how she reacts to something. So, you know, if it never goes well, if you both pay attention, if you both see what conditioning is doing to you, then you've been of great benefit to one another.
Mm-hmm. Right. I see that really clearly, and that's where I just keep getting duped, is that there's one thing that's going to be it.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me going. Okay, how about this? Oh, no, now we'll go to the other side. So I see this as just kind of letting go and being in the middle and just...
Well, yes, because what you're
where
getting...
you are.
What you're getting to see is conditioning doing that to you.
Right.
So, you know, the really kind of Dharma warrior approach to this would be, as soon as this kind of calms down, go out there and find the next person to offend.
I've already done about three in the last week. I don't know what's happened to me.
Perfect. Yeah. So then you get to watch conditioning do what it does. And as you know, our lives are made miserable because conditioning is watching us.
Huh.
Yeah? So conditioning is going around watching you, saying, yeah, that was not okay. I can't believe you did that. Why did you should have never, okay? And that's the relationship that most people live in. They're going around in life, conditioned mind is watching them and judging and criticizing everything they do. And because they believe that conditioned mind is a legitimate authority, they feel bad, feel good, feel whatever, depending on what conditioning is telling them about themselves.
Right.
Awareness practice is us stepping back and looking at it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just a completely different orientation to life. One leads to suffering. Choice A leads to suffering. Choice B leads to ending suffering. Because when we are in that place of watching conditioning, so there's conditioning telling you there's a right way, and you're watching it tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And so your response is, how do you know that? Why do you say that? Well, what is it then? Can I get a guarantee? You want to put it in writing? You sign right here. You with me?
Yeah. I really am. So it's not about the whole outcome of what happens. It's about my relationship with conditioning.
Exactly. And right now, conditioning is projecting itself out onto this other woman.
Right.
So it's perfect. You know, well, she hates you. She hates you because you did this bad, wrong thing. And what that means is this.
And for all I know, she could be out there thinking, I hate her.
Oh, precisely. Because she was a cheap, greedy so-and-so.
Right.
Yeah. So to watch conditioning set that whole thing up, to just do something, it's kind of like, you know, you're standing there and you toss a pebble out into the water and just watch the ripples.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing. You toss an activity into conditioning and watch the ripples.
Yeah.
Instead, what conditioning tries to get us to do is hide out. So we're constantly trying to hide out and be small so that it doesn't see us and get us. Well, we are its whole world. So, you know, there's nothing that we're going to do or not do that it doesn't see. What we get fooled by is that the whole possible game here is not for us to live in fear of what it's seeing, but for us to find the courage to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the freedom is.
Well, that's really helpful.
Good.
To me, because, you know, this is just one little snippet, but this happens all the time.
That's right. And you're on a roll, clearly. So you might as well take advantage of this offensive spell that you've hit here.
Yeah, I am on a roll. It's really interesting. It is about the third time I've done it. I'm getting a little bit better, but I don't know if it's the email class or the what, but I've just decided that I'm, you know, going to be honest about some things.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, you know, again, it's tricky because so many of us are conditioned quite similarly. So you step out of the line and you'll get conditioning telling you what a bad, awful person you are, but you'll be able to find a lot of external people who will support that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just get to see, yep, we're all conditioned that way. Does that make it the right thing? No, just means that a lot of us have the same conditioning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. That was really helpful.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun to listen to.
Yeah. it's just such a more enjoyable way to live.
Yes.
And what Janet is describing, I mean, that's just the most awful, you know, when you've done something, you get information that somebody's upset with you or they're offended or whatever, and that awful self-conscious torment that conditioned mind starts putting a person through, and to realize that freedom is just sitting down, sitting there, and watching it, watching all those sensations, watching the stories that arise, the meaning that's attached, just watching until the sensations pass through, and getting that actually it doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a reaction. It's like the person in the email class, I think it was a person in the email class who was walking along, yes, I was just talking about this on the retreat last week, who was walking along and banged their leg into a table or something and went, ow, ow, and then realized, oh, it doesn't hurt.
Yes. Yes, I remember reading that.
Yeah, it's perfect. I mean, that's exactly what we're dealing with here.
Yes.
So, you know, okay, so somebody didn't like something I said. Okay, all right. And so, what?
Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that, we just decide that we're going to go out in the world and be as rude as we can possibly be. It's just, as Janet is saying, you know, not being willing to be controlled by those voices threatening us and beating us up and telling us what other people think of us and how we have to act and that sort of thing. It's being free, and part of being free is, you know, not everybody's going to like what you say and do. But you know what? When you're in bondage, not everybody likes what you say and do. So
yeah.
There is that.
Yes, that's very true. That's true. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Berinja from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi there, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm pretty good. So I guess the first thing I want to call about is that I have called before, but I've always used my middle name, Monique.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's interesting because I was at the retreat last week, and the conditioning has used this against me a lot, that I never was honest, like the first time I called.
Uh-huh.
It's really strange. I still get, like, even now, if you use your real name, people are going to know how screwed up you are. It's very funny. So I decided that I was going to call and use my real name.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
yeah, because that's one of the things that we as Sangha agree about. We're all screwed up. It's what draws us together.
Right.
And we're working on it. That's the thing that keeps us together.
Right.
Mhm.
But somehow there's this whole, someone will really know, like, the truth.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And, of course, what that does is, well, one, it keeps me from really being able to be myself or from calling or being authentic, you know?
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which kind of reinforces the idea that there really is something wrong with you.
Yes, and puts you in that position of colluding with self-hatred.
Exactly.
You know, if they can't know who you are, if people find out who you, if they find out how messed up you are, if they, you know, oh my God, you got to hide out, you got to pretend, you got to fake it, you got to, it's like, it's kind of a, it's a similar conversation to the one we were just having, you know,
right?
Like there it is, it's out there, and then people like it, they don't like it, they have opinions about it, they don't, but at least you can relax.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I really didn't call that a specific agenda except for that, but I was kind of paying attention to this whole, the re-entry from retreats.
Uh-huh.
And it was, there's nothing wrong with you retreat, and then this one of the two retreats I've done at the monastery. And both of the times, the first time, there was nothing wrong with you retreat, I didn't expect it to be so, somehow I expected to hold on to all the realizations I had.
Mm.
But then this time, you had talked a little bit about this at the end of the retreat, but also because I'd had the experience before that I knew they went away.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, well, that's just the process. That's what's going to happen. It doesn't mean I can't have it again.
Yes.
So I was expecting, it just, I knew it was going to be okay. It was okay if I didn't have the same realizations, or as soon as I drove out of the gate, all the conditioning just hit me and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I noticed one of the really beautiful things about reentry is that because I had the experience at the monastery, I've noticed like the first couple days, I came home on Sunday, so it's been like 2 days. It's because that experience is still very much like right in the forefront of my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the conditioning even clearer as it's... I know as I get farther away, it's hard to remember that experience.
Yep.
But I can really see it. So it's like the retreat even continues, even though it's really difficult. I can see it even more precisely the way that it works.
Yes.
When I drove into town and I was getting closer to my house, I had a headache and I had kind of was overwhelmed. And I just heard this voice say, well, see, that's why you shouldn't go do these things.
Oh, you got to just appreciate the logic of conditioning.
I know, and it was really neat because I just was like, oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed today, too, I did an interesting thing last evening. I had planned on having a party for myself. There's a part of me that feels like a real disappointment in life.
Mm.
And I had been doing some journaling with this sub-personality, and I realized what she really needed was just to be accepted, that it was okay to feel that way. And that she was loved even feeling that way. So I did this little party. I made a cake and bought balloons and all sorts of stuff. And it was just a beautiful evening. I mean, it was just, I felt so loved and supported.
Uh-huh.
And by my compassion and being and just in general. And today, like the self-hate was just vicious.
Oh, yeah.
And I've noticed that pattern. And
yeah.
So I'm not as afraid of it, but I still see it. I do something really nice for myself, something that's really supportive, like the retreat or something like that. And it just comes in. It just looks for anything. And I lost my credit card. And instantly I was stupid. I was an idiot. I was all these things.
Yeah, should die.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I was driving down the road thinking, I just want to kill myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of awareness is critical, isn't it? So... Yes. What conditioning wants to say is, look, you're feeling overwhelmed, you have a headache. Now, this is all the proof you need that you shouldn't do this retreat stuff.
Right, right.
But instead, what you get is, okay, I'm going to do something really good for myself, and so I'm going to start calculating. How many hours is it until the backlash hits?
Ooh.
Because it's going to come.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah. And if for a long time, we don't know it's going to come. And so it's such a shock, and it's upsetting, and it's disorienting. And a lot of people believe, yeah, okay, I was better off before I started doing this stuff. It's doing this stuff that's really making my life so awful, instead of realizing that, no, it's self-hatred that's making my life so awful. So, of course, the person tries just giving up any awareness or kindness or that sort of thing so they can just live with conditioning and hope that the self-hate will leave them alone, and it doesn't work, and then they, of course, come back to trying to let go of that relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So to catch on to that as a process, then you can bring conscious awareness to it. And instead of it being shocking and painful, it's just like, oh, yeah, there you are. Okay. Yeah, we knew you were coming around.
Well, it becomes an almost like a thought during meditation. It's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And then it can go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when I don't have an issue that has a lot of like a lot of currency to the content,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting, not I want to say better, but I'm more able to see the self-hate or the conditioned processes come in. But there are still certain things like losing a credit card or misplacing my keys that for some reason are so highly charged that I'm so identified so quickly that I don't see it. But the neat thing, like today I noticed, it didn't take me long to recover, to go, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, I'm sure maybe you've had this experience as a child, or certainly seen people do this with children. They'll get upset over something and then turn around and start taking it out on the child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that the child did anything. It's
right.
The equivalent of, I lost my keys, and so I'm just going to turn around, and the child is going to say something, and whatever it is, it's going to be the wrong thing, and then I'm just going to unload all of this on this child because the child is helpless and can't fight back and like that. And we learn to do that internally. So there's, you know, somebody loses a credit card, and this, you know, this adult goes ballistic, and then there's a little person inside of there who's just taking all of that venom. So to remember that, you know, to
right.
Yeah, to interfere as quickly as we can is really a kindness, because otherwise somebody quite young and unable to defend, in this case herself, is there taking the brunt of that.
Is the negativity that comes toward me when I from inside about losing something, is it a subpersonality or is it self-hate?
I think it's self-hatred.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and, you know,
like.
I don't even think, and this is such a strange thing to consider, but I don't think it comes from inside. I think, you know, we assume that it's inside, but if we really look, you know, it's like we know that a noise in the house isn't inside us.
Right, right.
It's just that we know that. If we look really closely, we don't actually experience that it's not inside us. We just have an intellectual understanding that it's not inside of us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've noticed as I've become more aware, I just can't believe that voice has really anything to do with me.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I don't think it does.
Yeah. So in a sense, it makes sense that somehow I have this, I mean, I obviously have these processes and this conditioning on one level, but there's this beauty in me, and how can that sort of be mixed into the whole jumble in my brain or in my soul or whatever it is inside of me? So it makes sense. I can't intellectualize it, but it makes sense on one level.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, being in the email class, I'm so just hyper aware of this, that when people talk about their level of shock at the viciousness, you know,
yeah.
It's vile, the kind of stuff that this voice just starts spewing on people, and
yeah.
And again, you know, it's upsetting for the person who believes that, wow, that's me. And that kind of disbelief, you know, I'm not saying people are denying it. They're quick to own it. But there's a level of, wow, it's just, wow. I had no idea I felt that way. And it's kind of like the same as that noise in the house, you know, the same in reverse. You know, when you start looking at it, it doesn't make sense that's me. I don't think that way. I don't feel like that. And then all of a sudden it comes in, it takes over.
Right.
And it leaves? Wow.
And that I would never, ever treat anybody like that.
Yeah.
I would never say anything to anyone like that. I wouldn't even think those things about other people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's special, isn't it? It's just all for us.
Oh, it's just such a wonderful gift.
Yeah.
Can I give it back?
Yeah, right. Can I return it?
Exactly.
All right. Well, take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brinja. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have a couple more callers, and we're going to take a quick break and then talk to them.
Great.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome John from Los Angeles. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. This is John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Good, good.
What's going on?
Well, I sort of have a kind of a twofold question, and it's sort of about things that happen acutely and then things that happen more chronically and how I react to them. Mm-hmm. And, like, the example of the acute one is that just yesterday I called a paycheck discrepancy to the attention of my employer, and we went over it carefully. This has been, like, a two-week process, and we finally sat down, and then they realized, like, for the last 8 years they've been overpaying me compared to the other people.
Ooh.
And for the same type of job, but it was sort of the agreement I had in the beginning. I thought everyone did that. So what's happened is that, you know, it just keeps popping into my head. And I've been doing the email class, and, you know, how does a conversation in your head, you know, create the experience or create the universe you are, or how does that impact the universe you are creating? And I don't know how the question goes exactly, but it's just been popping into my head consistently, and I'm like, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, and I'm like kind of staying out of that. I'm like, okay, I'll be in the moment and just see how it all plays out. But it, like, for instance, it woke me up in the middle of the night, you know, like, oh, that happened. Oh, that happened. It just keeps coming into my awareness, and so I guess the question is these sort of thoughts of, regret or unsurety or uncertainty that just seem almost to be repetitively coming back. How does that fit in? And then sort of on, that's sort of the acute thing. And then the other side is what's on my mind a lot, and that's sort of the environment. And I'm kind of going mental on the environmentalism, you know, just because I feel like there's hardly anything I can do that doesn't just, you know, mess something up somewhere for someone or some animal or creature of the earth. And I'm just almost feel paralyzed by that, and that's another thing that happens, you know, and I just see that, okay, that's my conditioning saying you need to be an environmentalism or you need to be very careful about that, but then I drive anyways, or then I take an air flight plane anyways, and I, you know, these are sort of like, there's sort of, one's very acute and one's more chronic, and I'm just sort of, I think it relates to a lot of the last two callers, what they were saying, but...
Whether it's acute or chronic, on a process level, it's kind of the same thing, right? It's like a conditioned mind taps you on the shoulder and says, here's what's wrong.
Yeah.
This is what's wrong. And so whether it's a thought about the, you know, the job and the money and the anxiety I project that would produce, you know, so it's got the language so that it probably, I would imagine, comes with a healthy shot of adrenaline.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared about, okay, am I going to earn all of a sudden a lot less money and all this other stuff? And
right. Yeah, and then there's the environmental stuff that is probably less adrenaline, but has a kind of a doom.
Yeah, it's very cynical and it's sad, and it's like, what's the point? It's very, it's depressing. It's extraordinarily depressing.
Yeah, yeah. So both of them able to accomplish taking in any enjoyment that you might currently be experiencing away from you in a big hurry.
That's exactly it. Because actually, over the weekend, I was on cloud nine. I had just reunited with someone after decades, literally, and my sister had a newborn. I mean, it was like February 16th was one of the, you know, just like a huge day for me on Saturday, and I was literally, you know, ecstatic. And, you know, then all of a sudden, it's like quickly, it just turned so fast. And, you know, when I was trying to capture lightning in a bottle with that great feeling over the weekend, and now back, you know, boom, here comes some harder news to take.
Yeah. 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 And our conditioning is so, well, it's just so based in duality. And so, as you know, you feel great when all of this wonderful stuff is happening, and then you have to feel awful when all of this other stuff that is not labeled wonderful is happening. And you know, there's a lot of, we have a lot of encouragement. You know, that very famous story. It's been around for a few years about the old Chinese guy, and he has a son. And they have a horse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that one?
Like, who's to say what is good or bad?
That's right. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Right, maybe yes. Yeah.
And we, you know, on some level, we resonate with that because that is our life experience. We realize, well, you know, we don't know. We don't know that this thing that we think is a great thing is actually a great thing. We like it now. We don't know what it's going to be over the long haul.
Yeah.
How many people have fallen wildly in love and paired up with somebody that proceeded to ruin their lives, as far as they could tell. So, you know, what's glorious today may not be tomorrow. What's a nightmare today may turn out to be a great joy tomorrow. We don't actually know.
Mm-hmm.
But to learn to live with that, with the kind of trust in life that speaks to,
mm-hmm.
to me is kind of the heart of spiritual practice.
Right.
You know, learning that I'm not in charge here, I'm not in control. I mean, there you are. What a perfect example of that, right? 8 years this has been going on. Right?
Yeah.
You have no idea.
No, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just have no control over something like that. And so for us to get to the place of realizing that maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know what this means,
mm-hmm.
But I cannot let those voices torture me over it.
Now, so if a voice is just so repetitive and just keeps coming back every 10 minutes going, shit, you know, whatever.
Right.
I know that it will fade, but in the acute situation, is there, do you have any ideas or
yes.
try to think about something else or ignore it, avoid it, or
yes,
just...
I like to think about something else.
Okay.
And it's the technique, you know, if you get a song stuck in your mind,
uh-huh.
and you, the only way I've ever found to get it out is to have it be a flag for me to turn my attention to where I want it to be.
Right.
And so I am a firm believer in, you know, coming up with the information that I want to have. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, for me, it would be, hey, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to turn out. But here's the thing. We're going to be together. It's going to be fine. We have a great life. You know, we have people who love us. We have, you know, we have everything we need. Come on. It's going to be fine. It's always been fine. We have no evidences, you know, and I'll launch off into something like that until the voices just, you know, get tired of listening to me
mm-hmm.
and go away. It doesn't mean, as you say, that in 10 minutes they're not there with another jab, but if every time they jab you, it launches you into this whole philosophical gratitude mantra.
Yeah.
Conditioning will definitely lose interest in doing that to you.
That's really helpful, and I sort of intuitively have gone to that, like, oh, this too shall pass, you don't know, just...
Yeah.
And just sort of process it and see it as, like, gosh, it's strange how powerful it's like...
Oh, and it just, it knows right where to send that jolt into your body.
Yeah, and just to even wake me from sleep, yep. You know, like, somehow it's happening in the middle of the night. There's a part of my brain or mind going, like...
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you really messed up. You shouldn't have brought it to their attention.
Yeah. As if it's your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really helpful, and I appreciate that.
Good. All right. Well, take care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, John. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
And would you believe it's another John from Los Angeles? You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
We are rich with Johns from Los Angeles.
I'm glad I can participate in that well.
How are you?
You know, Sherry, actually I'm not doing that well.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
We've talked about a lot about the health stuff that I work with, and I'm having a lot of problems with chronic pain sort of being a door for, you know, conditioning just really kicking my butt.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through a lot of stuff with the medical community in the last few months, which has been expensive and time-consuming and sort of demoralizing. And
that's annoying. Don't forget annoying.
There's a whole host of adjectives I could throw in, but I don't think I'd waste your time with them. It's you know all of them. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's
I do.
And they're all sort of. It seems my experience has been that it becomes more disorienting as you kind of go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the thought forms as I'm working with these people is not to sort of, you know, buy into the fantasies of authority, and I question a lot of what's being said, and I do a lot of alternative things, but, you know, if I'm really being honest at the root of things, I'm kind of exhausted.
Yeah.
I feel...
And frightened?
You know, actually, no, I think one of the benefits of a long-term practice is that I'm not really particularly afraid of dying or those things. I think I've taken some efforts to prepare myself for that reality, but it's not frightened as much as it is immobilized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm tired and I'm in pain all the time. You can't really explain to your friends, no, I really can't go with you to do that because I can't turn my head. You know, it's just that literal. You know, I don't want to go and spend 2 hours walking around with you doing this because I can't turn my head to look at this or do that, and I can't walk because my back hurts too much, and I'm just not going to be able to do that with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a part of me, that, I mean, the bigger sort of issue for me is that it's sort of undermining my practice because the experience that I'm having is that conditioning is going, see, look where you are. You know all this stuff, and you should be able to work with it, and I feel the sense of, what would be the way I get it, shame. Shame that I'm not able to address this in a more meaningful, that's a wrong choice of words. I read Ram Dass's book, and that's the feeling I have is when he had his stroke is, you know, it just kind of flies out the window. You know, the practice just flew out the window for him and his description of that. And in the last 6 months, I think, since my last retreat with you, I feel like my practice is sort of flying away.
Now, let me ask you this. Where did he get to with that?
Well, that's true. He found his way back.
Yeah.
He did find his way.
Now, how did he do that?
Practice.
Hmm.
Yeah. I've been... Yeah.
So
yeah.
What it taught him, I confess I haven't read the book, but I've heard rumors, that it really taught him where the holes were in his practice, right?
Yeah.
And he set about filling those in. So I know you a little bit, and I know that you have a young son who you're quite fond of. What if he were in this position? What would you say to him?
I'd take care of him as best as I could, and I'd do my best to help him see the best possible situation. But, you know, as I'm saying those words to you, it rings hollow to me because the long-term pain talks above it. It's louder than what I'm saying to you right now.
Yes, and if he were in that kind of pain, what would you want to offer him?
Relief.
But you can't, can you?
No.
Because there isn't any relief.
No.
Yeah. So the pain is a given. That's a constant. That's just how it is.
And so what would you want him to know? What would you want him to focus on?
Well, you know, that's a great question. That's a great question. The nature of my experience of pain is that it draws your attention constantly. And so I guess I would encourage him to redirect his attention. But again, that rings hollow for me because conditioning is saying to me, it just doesn't work, does it?
So there are two difficulties, right?
Yeah.
One is the pain and the compelling nature of that, how it draws the attention. There are three problems, really. Then there's conditioning taking advantage of this, as it has taken advantage of everything else in your life to try to ruin it.
Oh, yeah, those components are always the cherries on top, absolutely.
Yeah, and then the third and perhaps the most essential part of this is not being able to direct your attention away from conditioning.
Yeah, that's been the sort of slipping factor is over time, I feel like, you know, there's an erosion going on that's been creeping up over time. And in fact, that's why I called in today, because I think the guidance I'm looking for isn't just sort of the encouragement, because I think experientially that I can work with this, but I think I'm exhausted.
Well, the one that I would like for you to consider is that this is your equivalent of the place that Ram Dass had to face. Okay?
Yep.
So what you know is where the hole is in your practice is not being able to direct your attention. Now, here's the good news. It takes nothing to direct attention. Doesn't take any muscles, doesn't take any energy, no effort. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. So it's kind of good news. You know, if it were you've got to learn to, you know, bend something to do with the body and it produces more hideous pain and that sort of thing, that would be a hard pill to swallow. But this is learning to direct your attention away from those voices of conditioning and back to a place of compassion that will give you relief and strength and energy and kindness and all of those other things that you could really use right about now.
Yeah, and I think my heartbreak at this point is that I'm finding it difficult to do that.
Of course it's difficult.
Yeah.
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 And so here's a little assignment for you.
Okay.
I want you to make a list of all of the difficult things in your life that you have mastered.
Okay.
Can you think of any right offhand?
Yeah.
Okay. Make a list.
Okay. I will.
And then add this to it. This is your latest challenge.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, John. Sherry, I found that very inspiring.
Yeah, boy, I mean, life will take us to those places.
Yes.
It's just sooner or later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are out of time. I'd like to thank you, Sherry. It's been really wonderful.
Thank you, Michael. Let's do it again soon.
Okay. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.